Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, it has been promised for decades, mired in controversy for years and significantly delayed, but the new National Children's Hospital is now approaching completion. Our reporter Brian O'Connell had exclusive access into the sprawling facility located on the St James's campus in Dublin yesterday. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Claire.
Now, you've been speaking to the people whose job it is to make sure it opens on time, and there's been such a huge amount of focus and attention on this site. What's it like inside?
Well, I suppose first for people outside Dublin who don't know the area particularly well, it's about two or three stops from on the Lewis from Houston station, just depending on which entrance you go in. It's on the site of the St James's complex. From the outside, parts of it look like a modern new sports stadium, for example. And as I visited yesterday, workers were outside sweeping. There was some landscaping work, putting the finishing touches, for example, to bright colours on windows. And while there's very little medical equipment on site, it does look very close to completion. We know, obviously, there's been so much focus on this site, particularly around cost, but it is an impressive building. The design flow, the access to natural light, the use of internal parks, broken up by play areas, the way some windows, for example, just small details, windows were at the height for children, as are some door handles, art used throughout the wards. Little details like charging points are in rooms, not just just for children, so they don't have to share the charging point with adults. So a lot of attention to detail, and a lot of it came from feedback from patient groups and advocates, which has fed into the final design. I'm going to bring you something, Claire, of a whistle-stop tour inside the facility. You'll hear Julia Lewis, who's Transformation Director for CHI. Her role is to turn the building into a functioning hospital. And we'll hear from Phelim Devine, who's Project Director with the National Paediatric Hospital Development Board. We began close to the Lewis stop.
I think the idea whenever the building was designed is that children who are coming to outpatient departments, etc., would come on public transport. Dublin Bus has put, I think, additional 8 bus routes through the campus. The hot block from this door to the very end of the other door is the length of Grafton Street. Outside of every single finger, we have these gardens and play parks. And we have 14 play parks across the whole of the building.
Just in terms of what's happening on site at the moment, Phelim, so where are we at?
Well, we're now at the closing stages of the project, which is great. And the main works is the BAMR finishing off the concourse. So that's really kind of the main area to finish off from a construction perspective. You can see it's very, very advanced now. And then the big other piece of work that's happening is the technical commissioning of the hospital. That's bringing all the building systems together and making sure they're all integrated. BAMR have told us that the project will finish around the end of June. Like, this is a 50 to 100-year investment in children's health. That's what it is. We have built the hospital maybe slightly bigger than it needs to be, and we were fortunate to do that at the time. We looked at census 20 years in advance. We looked at soft spaces, grey spaces being that we know that the building will get bigger.
One of the observations people would have is because it took so long to get to this point, yeah, with a rapidly growing population, there are concerns that the beds that are here won't be enough. Is there potential for expansion in terms of capacity on the site, or is this the max?
We have built in, there's a whole a meadow garden at the end is designed for a future six-storey structure, so we can add another 15% onto the size of the hospital. And there are other areas around the site or on top of the building where we can add actually more space.
Phelim Devine there, sounding confident about timelines. So give us a sense of what else you saw, Brian.
A few observations straight away, Claire. No large waiting areas, and that's because the way it's designed should eliminate the need for people to be waiting long times. No closed offices, just one large open plan area. Imaging very close to resus and ED departments, which is a huge change in terms of patient care. Many rooms have a pull-out bed so families can stay, so a kind of a sofa bed. Robots are going to deliver meals to patients. Parking, 1,000 spaces, 650 of these available to parents and families. There will be a charge, although I'm told 100 of these will possibly be free for presumably some of the sickest families. That has to be worked out. We're going to hear in this clip about the parking, and you'll also hear Dr. Paddy Fitzpatrick, a consultant in paediatric emergency medicine in Temple Street and a clinical lead on this project.
This turning circle will allow mums, dads, aunts, grannies to come up and leave their relatives off, and then they can go into the building.
Parents will drive in there, they can, with a sick child, they can set their car down, come in, and then the car can be dealt with at a later stage.
When you say the car can be dealt with, then where does the car go?
Into the car park.
In terms of spaces, where is that at the moment?
There is just under 1,000 spaces. It's over a third greater than we have in our current facilities. Will it be enough? There's no hospital in the world has enough car parking. You will have to pay, and I understand that the cap that the previous minister put on at €10 a day is being retained.
So the 1,000 spaces, 675 of those are for visitors, and over 300 odd are for staff?
Correct.
Okay. Just clinically, what excites you about this site? Like, what's the game changer here, apart from the fact that it is this world-class, albeit one of the most expensive hospitals in the world? What is it that engages you clinically on it?
I think it's the opportunity for children and their families to get the care they deserve. Generally, in our sites at the moment, children are getting world-class healthcare, but they're getting it in an environment that's not conducive to getting better. So it means that we can do what we know we can do to help children get better. Templestry, where I primarily work, is two Georgian houses that were converted to a hospital 150 years ago. It's a remarkable feat that so much amazing healthcare has been provided for such a long time in such a constrained environment.
It's not the most expensive children's hospital in the world, and there have been papers published on that. Obviously, we benchmark costs all the time in terms of where the cost is versus where the market is. Where it's not just about the capital cost. Yes, it's expensive, and it's expensive for good reasons, because it is world class. It's the first public digital, fully digital hospital in the country. There's no other hospital in this country that has been built that has 39 specialties in it. Even the largest adult hospitals might have 10 or 12 between them. So you have to take all that into account in terms of benchmarking.
Now, the fully digital hospital, Brian, that was something we heard from the HSE CEO, Bernard Gloucester, when he was with us here in the studio on Monday. And despite the fact that this hospital, let's face it, it has significantly breached its budget on several occasions, you got the impression that they feel now that they can justify this cost.
Well, there has been that huge focus on costs. I can see on Instagram, even in the past half hour when I flagged this report, a lot of people are referring to the cost. But there's no getting away from the wow factor inside the building. It's really like no other medical facility I've been in. The scale is impressive, as we said, the length of Grafton Street, if you can imagine, with arteries running off it. These incredibly modern, futuristic, almost looking clinical areas interspersed with big, bright, fun playgrounds, play areas, themed art. It's a kind of looks at times like a new airport terminal, maybe looks like Star Trek. It's very hard to fully compare it because we really don't have anything like this in Ireland. We need to get the commissioning right, obviously, but in terms of what we have now, I suppose there's no denying, as Phelim said, it is world class, and it puts it up really to the rest of our health infrastructure. This is the new benchmark.
Right, now there are two other areas you saw that you want to tell us about.
One is the emergency department, where, as I said already, it's quite unique, Claire, very, very small waiting area, which is a statement really of intent. So let's start in the emergency department in the resus unit, which is close by. From there, we went on to one of the wards where we could go into a room which had a sofa bed for parents, and some very interesting changes in terms of food offerings, as you'll hear.
So we're heading towards the emergency department, and we're actually just walking through the imaging department, because the fact that imaging, which is your x-ray department, is actually sitting right beside your emergency department. So if you just look across the way there, that is the James's emergency department, so the adult emergency department. This will be the paediatric emergency department, and then the maternity department will go over there. The synergies of having all three on one site is internationally recognised. So this is a very small waiting space. If you can notice, this is the only waiting space we sort of have in ED, and that's because this hospital has been designed with a new model of care in mind.
And because we're lifting our staffing levels to more international benchmark staffing levels, we'll be able to process and treat those children as quickly as we can.
It is hugely dependent on getting those staffing levels up, and if you look currently across the health services, we have a huge number of consultant posts vacant, for example.
I think healthcare staffing is a challenge globally everywhere, isn't it? There's a lot of people outside of Ireland looking towards us now and saying there's a great opportunity. We've had recent interviews where we had a lot of candidates for a small number of posts.
380 rooms within this building that are all individual. 300 of them all have parents, individual parent beds, and we're going to take you up and show you one of those. They all have an individual parent bed and an ensuite. Okay, so the rooms have really been designed. If you were to go to North America, if you were to go to San Francisco or Chicago, you would get a very, very similar room. every room has a window of this size, and actually we are going to have an on-demand service for food. So children, when they're not well, they don't want to eat when breakfast arrives, lunch arrives, and dinner arrives. They want to eat when they're ready to eat, and therefore on the service you will actually be able to call up your order of what you want and put it down, and within 45 minutes your order will arrive at the door. Mum or dad can also order, and then they can pay if they have to pay, they can pay.
Will parents always be paying for food?
At this point in time, we don't know where we're going with that. It's a bit like the car parking spaces. We've actually just acknowledged that we've got the technology. You can order it 45 minutes and you get it in 45 minutes advance. So we have to work our way through that.
It's automated food, which is quite extraordinary development. And it all sounds really impressive. You went on to the helipad as well, and you got a sense from those you met on the latest timeline too, because the building is due, we've heard this, by the end of June is the completion date. The first patients then perhaps by the end of the first quarter of next year. So around this time, as Bernard Gloucester told us earlier in the week, that's on track, is it?
Well, just on the helipad, and I'll come back to the timeline, it's right at the top of the site. A ramp leads into the main campus. There is some concern some of the larger helicopters won't be able to land on what is a raised helipad, but I'm told talks are ongoing around this. So before we left, I did ask again about the timeline. We heard from Bernard Gloucester on the show earlier this week. He said expectation now, as you said, a 9-month commissioning period. So the hospital should be open for patients in the first quarter in 2026 next year. So this is what some of those working on the ground told me.
I am going to deliver an operational commissioning period, but what I do know is my operational commissioning period is 9 months. So the first big chunk of work is to bring in the 100,000 pieces of equipment, and that can be from all of the monitors, all of the cardiac equipment, right down to the handheld dispensers for your gel and your soap. So everything has come in.
I suppose what I'm asking you, are you confident within that 9 months you're going to have this hospital ready, open its doors and patients being treated here?
I am, yes. Providing there is nothing that comes along that we are not yet aware of. So we'll take a few days, it'll actually take about 4 to 5 days to move all of the children from Temple Street and Crumlin. And then we have a number of items of equipment, so we're not buying all new PCs, etc. They come. We also bring an MRI and a CT scanner from Temple Street. And then my role sort of flips into one from commissioning into decommissioning mode. So the first place we're going to actually go and decommission is Temple Street, and that will then go back to the Mater Hospital, who are the owners. We currently have a lease. And then when we move into Crumlin, we're in discussions with the HSC at the minute around what the future use of Crumlin will be.
So my name is Phelan Devine. I'm the project director with the National Paediatric Hospital Development Board.
I suppose one thing the public would want to know, have we learned lessons from this project?
There have been lessons learned, I think. And, we've fed back an awful lot of information to help inform future projects. We work for the state, we all pay our taxes, we want to get the best value for money. The best value for money is actually getting the design, the construction, the quality of the hospital correct, because it's probably 3 to 4 years of running costs equals the capital investment of this project. So that's the nature of healthcare, especially one of for a national hospital. So,
but are you quite confident now there's no hidden surprises in terms of the build?
We've done a lot of work through the design process, through the construction process, trying to avoid those. But it's not without its risks. Commissioning a large hospital is challenging.
So that's on the timelines. And just one other point on the fact this will be a fully digital hospital, Claire. It's a massive change in terms of how things are done in some of our existing facilities, where staff are filling out requests on paper and physical charts in some cases, as we know. So what medics will have now is this digital record. It will actually have inbuilt alarms, so that if, for example, the wrong medication has happened to be prescribed or a course of treatment has been pursued, a number of alarms will trigger. So you can see how it will lead to huge changes in terms of patient care. It means as well, I think, it'll be much easier to analyse performance and patient output and surgery performance. But it will, like a lot of aspects of this site, because there are so many advancements here, it's going to require significant staff buy-in.
You were saying, Brian, you're getting reaction to this on Instagram, a lot of people talking about the cost, and we have people getting in touch with us talking about the location. This one isn't it a shockingly bad location, so inaccessible. Paul in Sligo says when this hospital was planned, they were just thinking about the people of Dublin with its location. They forgot that it's a national children's hospital. hospital, but you did get some information on that on the public transport links now to this site.
Well, I have to say I came up from Cork yesterday morning, so I got on a train in Mallow at 6:10. I was on site at 8:25, roughly 8:30. It is very accessible from Houston, and as you heard, there is a number of new Dublin bus routes going to be accessing the site. I mean, there is a big emphasis that has to be set on public transport. Obviously, for the sickest of patients, that's not going to work out. One other part of it as well that I think has struck a lot of people is the location of the Ronald McDonald House, which is going to provide, I think, just over 50 beds for families. That's already in existence on Crumlin. It is quite close to the front entrance. I know there have been questions around the positioning of that and the relationship with McDonald's, for example, which is a charity that would help fund the Ronald McDonald House. But there will be an underground bridge as well. But I think for families who are from outside the country or outside the capital, sorry, it does give them that option of being able to stay long term, to have kitchen facilities, to have communal areas, for example. So to try and replicate some of what you might have at home, mm-hmm. albeit in a very unique and clinical setting.
OK, well, Brian, thank you very much for that insight into the new National Children's Hospital. Anyone who wants to see the pictures, and Brian got plenty of them and video too, you can go to Brian O'Connell on Instagram or the RT Radio 1 feed too. And the hospital, we've been told, is due to be completed by the end of June and open perhaps by March or April of next year, of 2026.